This is episode 114 of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast, Reading and Interpreting Nursing Home Records. The Nursing Home Abuse Podcast is dedicated to providing news and information for families whose loved ones have been injured in a nursing home. Here are your hosts, Georgia attorneys Rob Schenck and Will Smith. Hello out there and welcome back to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. This is episode 114. Mm. 114, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you remember when we first started doing this?
I do.
Yeah. Hasn't gotten any easier.
It has not gotten. No, it's gotten more efficient. I think it's gotten better with the guest.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
We've learned to batch all the episodes together and then,
yeah.
And then it gets published at particular intervals. Mm-hmm. So this is where we're filming this. This episode won't come out for a long time, but when it does, it'll be April 15th, tax day. Mm. But what this will be the last thing that I talk about Danielle. I feel like Danielle is like every other episode we talk about Danielle, who is, as of today's date, my wife in the eyes of the community, but not in the eyes of the government. I don't know how you say that.
Okay.
So Wednesday, April 17th, is the day that we actually go to the courthouse and become civilly married in Atlanta, Georgia.
Excellent.
That's what our plan is.
Yeah.
So again, over the span of us doing this podcast, just met her, dated her, became engaged, and now have become married in church.
Yeah.
And now married.
And you know what's significant is that this is podcast 114, mm-hmm. and half of 114 is 57. And that the date that you're actually getting married is 4/17. Mm-hmm. And 4 + 1 = 5, mm-hmm. 57. Or you can keep adding and it equals 12, which is the same thing that 57 equals, which is half of
6,
which is half of 114.
That's right.
Yeah. So
I didn't see where you're going there, but I can tell you this, that was gibberish. And to some people, medical records and nursing home records can be gibberish. And so that's the point of today's episode, is to understand how to read and interpret and to really comprehend and understand nursing home records for if your loved one is in a nursing home. And we're not doing that alone. We have a guest with us today. Her name is Tori Palavada. She's mm-hmm. a nurse. And Will, can you tell us a little bit more about her?
Yeah. Nurse Palavada is a registered nurse who's dedicated most of her 30-year career to working in nursing homes in Arkansas, Ohio, and Florida. She's held many different roles, including unit charge nurse, staff development, quality assurance, risk manager, and director of nursing. Currently, she is the clinical educator of a skilled rehab facility in Florida, and she has her own legal nurse consulting company, Palavada Legal Nurse Consultants. She is currently completing her wound care certification as well. As a certified legal nurse consultant, she is able to assist attorneys by analyzing the medical record and interpreting the information and its relevance to the case. Medical records are saturated with tedious medical vocabulary, and a nurse is a perfect person to interrupt them for an attorney or a jury. I'm sorry, to interpret them for an attorney or a jury. And that's what she does as a certified legal nurse consultant. So we're very happy to have somebody with her expertise today on the show. Nurse Palavada, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great. Thank you for having me.
So I want to kind of jump right in into this. One of the things that you do, and I know that you're getting your certification for wound care, that you've been everything from a charge nurse to a director of nursing. So you have a huge background of knowledge. But one of the things that you help attorneys do is understand medical records.
Yes.
Are nursing home records the same as medical records?
Yes, they are. Every resident that enters a nursing home has a medical record started pretty much from the minute they arrive. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's even started before they arrive. With the electronic health records, we frequently get records from the hospital sent electronic before the patient even arrives.
Yeah. What are in these nursing home records?
Well, every nursing home record is really set up very similar. So if I was reviewing a nursing home record or a family was, I would expect to see probably about 10 or 11 different areas. So I'll just quickly kind of go over those.
Yeah,
if you have
please.
Questions, let me know. But the first section I would think would be an administrative section, kind of a face sheet, advanced directives. Next, I would see hospital records if they came from the hospital. All the hospital records, the H&Ps, just so we get to know what's going on with that resident before they get to us. Then we would normally see physician orders, physician progress notes. The progress notes are done as the physician comes to the nursing home and sees that patient. They usually do a progress note every time they have a visit. Next, we might see consultation reports from like podiatry, dental, psychiatry. And then we would go right into the assessment, which is a big part of the chart. That's where we would see risk assessments, such as maybe pain assessment, a fall assessment, skin, dehydration, elopement. There's lots of different assessments that are done on admission and then on a scheduled basis while they're there, whether it's quarterly or weekly. The next part really is probably the most important piece of the medical records, and that's the care plan. Care plan really is the roadmap to the care that's delivered for that resident. These care plans are developed from many, many different assessments that are done. It's done with their diagnosis, their medication. So all of this is developed into a care plan, and there's three parts to that. Usually a problem statement, a goal for that problem statement, and interventions. So, for example, if somebody came in and say they had no skin issues, you know, their skin was good, but they're diabetic, they have fragile skin, they have limited mobility, they may be at risk for skin problems, so we would institute a care plan for a potential for risk, you know, for skin. So these care plans are kind of an ever-going, breathing, changing part of the medical record.
So who participates in that care plan?
All the disciplines, and we call disciplines in the nursing home, that would include like nursing, dietary, activities, social services, the physician, the resident, the family. Those are kind of the key players that participate in development of the care plan.
Gotcha. Okay.
So and we do include that resident in it.
Gotcha. And so what's the, this is really great. So keep going. What's the, after the care plan, what else is in those records?
A couple more pieces. So the next part I would expect to see if I was doing a chart review would be what we call MAR, which is the medication administration records. So this is where the nurse documents all the medication that he or she has given the resident. And it's usually done on a monthly basis. And then you're going to see nurse notes and other disciplines notes like social services, activity, dietary. And these notes can be daily, they can be weekly, it just kind of depends on the, you know, individual and what they're there for. You're going to see skin assessments, normally a weekly skin assessment, and then you're going to have therapy notes, and you're going to have lab x-rays, you know, you have a section for lab and lab x-rays, and then there's also a section for the nursing assistant documentation. So in the facility, there's nursing assistants, that do the bathing and the toileting and those type of things. So they also do documentation. So that's really all of the pieces, the main pieces that you would see in a medical record that I would expect to see. So if I didn't see something, then something's missing.
And is there a huge difference between, and I think that a lot of times nomenclatures are just different depending on where you go. Is there a huge difference between the TAR and the MAR?
Yes. The MAR is medications, like pills and that type thing, where the TAR is treatment. That would be like a wound dressing, a lab, a specialty mattress. Those type things would be documented on a TAR.
And that's actually, Will brings up a good point. Where would you say that the ADL documentation would be found? Would that be in the NA docs in terms of the implementation of the ADLs?
Yes. Yes, the ADL documentation would be done by the nursing assistant. That's usually a separate form or a separate part of the computerized program.
And you mentioned on a few of these different categories of nursing home records that they're updated sometimes daily, sometimes weekly, sometimes whenever with regard to the progress notes, whenever the physician is there. But how often are nursing home records just in general updated? Does it depend?
Yeah, well, if they're a skilled patient, meaning they're just recently discharged from the hospital, then you would expect they have to have daily documentation by the nursing. That's a Medicare requirement. They would have at least some type of a daily assessment done, minimal. If they're a long-term care resident, and they've been there for, you know, years or months, they may only have a weekly nurse note, just summarizing the week. But, you know, for the most part, you know, there's several entries in a week's time for the long-term care, because the dietitian might enter, the doctor might enter something, the nurse is going to write an order. So it's a pretty fluent document as far as entry. But a skilled patient that's short-term from the hospital, you would expect to see a lot more documentation just because there's still, you know, a lot going on with that patient that they should be assessing to make sure there's no changes of condition.
Right.
So you're obviously a veteran at this, but if somebody picked up one of the, like, let's say, for example, the nurse assistant documents that show the ADL implementation. So would you say that that document is more geared towards the documentation of it in terms of, like, it's easier to put down what you did versus actually read and understand what happened? So I guess that's a really dumb way of asking, is it easy to read?
Yeah. The nursing assistant documentation is pretty much going to be check boxes for the most part of what they did. Like, for example, if they're transferring somebody, there's going to be a section on how did that patient transfer. So the nursing assistant probably has five different choices. It might be independent. Were they independent with the transfer? Were they supervision? Were they a limited assistance, meaning they needed some help, but they did some of it? Was it extensive, meaning you did weight-bearing support, you had to help lift them? Or were they maybe 100% dependent for that? So you might have, you know, transferring, bed mobility, eating, toileting, bathing, all of those type of ADLs that the nursing assistant is going to document on every day. And it really can vary from shift to shift, because somebody can be pretty independent during the day, but at night they need a lot more care because it's nighttime and they've been in bed, so they may need more assistance. So it really varies sometimes during the day also.
I see. And you mentioned one of the categories of these nursing home records would be assessments. Do you include the MDS in that category?
Yes. Yeah. The MDS is a whole separate section that we are required to do if it's a Medicare or Medicaid building. So we do an MDS depending on what they're, if they're a managed care or just a straight Medicare. If they're a straight Medicare patient, then they're going to have a complete Medicare assessment done 5 days after they've been here, 14 day, 30 day, 60 day, you know, and then ongoing. Sometimes there's even more in between there. If their therapy changes, there'll be an extra assessment. If they've had a condition change, they're going to do extra assessment. And these are submitted to CMS, which is the Center of Medicaid and Medicare Services, for reimbursement purposes. But we also derive the care plan from that information too.
I see. So let's talk about what person, obviously, if the individual resident would like to see it, if they have the capacity to want to request them and look at them, I'm sure that's okay. But what's your understanding of who is allowed to access the nursing home records and under what circumstances?
Okay. Well, a reason why, you know, there's a couple reasons why a family or a patient might request to see their medical records. One is sometimes families just want to keep a very detailed record on mom or dad's medical history, you know, what labs they've had, what the doctor said, everything that occurred. Sometimes it's just information that they want. Other times, the family or the patient's been unhappy with something that has occurred at the facility. You know, they had a fall that resulted in a hip fracture, or they have a skin area that they didn't have when they came in. So sometimes they're looking for specific issues in that record, which again, sometimes then leads to the visit to the attorney. You know, if they feel that they've been done wrong, you know, by the nursing home, they'll request that record so they can try and look through it and see if they find anything themselves, or again, take it to an attorney, and see if they might have an issue.
That's an excellent point. And to that point, let's say that, let's give you a hypothetical then where, a family of a loved one that's in a nursing home, perhaps they, were told that they were drowsy and fell. And so the family says, well, give me the entire file, and they get the entire file. What are some of the more important, categories of nursing home records that you would look at? Like what kind of family member, what should they go to first whenever they're trying to evaluate you know, what's going on with their loved one?
A couple areas. One would be, I would definitely look at the nurse note, the nursing assessment of the nurse note from the time frame that they're looking at. That, you know, like a couple days before mom started getting drowsy, and read through the nurse notes. See if there's any, if the nurse has documented that the patient was different, you know, if something was going on. And if they did document that, you know, patient seems more lethargic than usual, did they notify the physician? Did they call the doctor and let them know of this change of condition? So that would be one key factor. Second thing I would look at definitely was the care plan. Did they care plan that there was a change? You know, if did they document that there was a change in her, you know, being more sleepy, I think is what you said. So I would look at the care plan. I would also look at the physician orders. Did she have any medication changes a day or two prior to this? Did they start her on some type of a medication that possibly has a side effect of sleepiness? You know, if they did, then that would be something, you know, that they needed to address. The nurses in the nursing home should know that if they start them on a, let's say, a narcotic for pain, that's going to make them more sleepy, you know, so they would need to address it.
Will has often talked about his background as working in a nursing home, and he talks about his understanding that some people, not him, but some people in his experience would have what's called charting parties.
Oh, absolutely.
Can you describe what a charting party is and how that affects the accuracy of a nursing home record?
Well, I guess if I'm thinking of what a charting party, I've never really used that phrase. I mean, it's not something I'm real familiar, but I would imagine it's like, let's catch up our charting.
Yeah.
Kind of is what I'm guessing that means.
I think it happens on the ADLs the most.
Okay.
And then maybe some nurses' notes.
Yeah. I mean, that's just not a good practice at all.
It's not.
I mean, you can't remember what you did 3 days ago, let alone, you know, a week ago if you're trying to back, you know, chart on something. So it's crucial that the facilities have some type of a tracking to make sure that everything is done on a daily basis when it's supposed to be done. So I think that's important, because if they're trying to backtrack and chart, they're just going to chart what somebody before them charted. I mean, we call it like parrot charting or copy charting, something like that.
Or charting by exception. Yeah.
So, you know, it is crucial that, and again, we've said this a million times. Nurses have heard it a million times. If it wasn't charted, if it's not documented, it wasn't done, you know. So it's important that you document the things that you do in a timely basis. It's okay if you forget to document and you come back the next day, you just do a late entry. You know, it's understandable that sometimes late entries happen, but you did go back and document something that happened the prior day. But to just wait and do it all at one time would definitely be an issue. You're not going to have accurate information.
Well, with that in mind too, I mean, that is sometimes an issue that we face now. Another issue that we face, and I'm curious if you experience a lot, is just not adequate records at all. I've had places that I've had some places where they're state of the art, they record everything. And then I've had some like rinky dink little nursing home that it's like you guys don't chart anything. Do you see that, or they're missing charts or missing pages?
Yes, definitely. And I think a lot of times the facilities that struggle with having appropriate documentation and complete medical records really are sometimes facilities that have a high turnover of staff.
Yeah.
If you have consistent staff and the same DON and the same nurses over and over, you know, most of the time you have pretty good medical record outcomes. But it's when you have a different nurse in every day, or you have agency, or you just have new staff starting all the time, you know, that's when I think the medical record gets a little bit out of sort, and people don't realize that they're missing things until it's too late.
Yeah.
But yes, I definitely do see charts that are completely missing things. Like recently I reviewed a chart that had no care plans. I mean, absolutely no care plans. I'm thinking, how can that be? You know, it's very unusual to not see some care plans. Maybe they're not accurate, but to not have any care plans was definitely an issue with that case.
Well, speaking of missing documents, when a nursing home resident is sent out to the hospital for whatever reason and they come back to the nursing home, does the nursing home have access to those records and those become a part, do those records become a part of the nursing home file?
The hospital records?
Correct.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So when somebody is being sent to the hospital, we, like say we're sending somebody to the hospital, we always try and send a few things. It just depends how emergent. If it's a 911, we have to get the patient out right away. We always make sure we send a face sheet that has the demographics and that, you know, diagnosis and a medication list. Those would be the two minimal that we would send with the patient. And then we would get with the ER later and send them more things. But if we have time and it's not an emergent transfer, we're going to make sure we send as much as we can with that patient to the hospital. So the continuum of care is well for that patient. We might send history and physical, consultation, labs, recent labs, things like that. So as far as what we send to the hospital, you know, we try and send as much as we can to help them be able to take care of our patient when they go. Now, when the patient comes back from the hospital, we frequently get a lot of medical records from the hospital. Mm-hmm. Now, those medical records, you know, the copies that we get from the hospital do become part of our medical record for the nursing home.
I gotcha. And that leads me to the next question, and I'm sure that can be very voluminous. So in your experience, are most nursing home records, are they accessible? First of all, it's a two-part question then. So when the records are being generated, like, so for example, we'll use the nursing assistant documents. Are those being punched in electronically? And if so, do they come out electronically? And if they are punched in electronically, is there ever a time where they come out paper-wise? And I ask that for the family members that are thinking about getting some nursing home records. Is it going to be a box of paper or is it going to be like a thumb drive?
Actually, they can get it on a disc if they would like, or they can have the paper copies. Mm-hmm. Either way, but yes, it definitely, if this, the nursing assistant documentation would come out on a paper form, and it would be probably for the whole month, you know, like it would tell you what the answer, what the nursing assistant answered for that month for that question. Usually everything's kind of in a month. Mm-hmm. But when they do ask for their records, well, like I said, there's a time frame of what we have in order to prepare that record for them. So depending on if they want a digital copy or a paper copy, we would produce that.
For a family member that is not familiar with medical records, nursing home records, are there any tools that you would recommend to them? For example, if they have the records in front of them, should they have their computer open to like dictionary.com or whatever, a medical dictionary, so they can look up short references and things like that? Do you have any tools that you can suggest?
I don't know that I don't know of a specific tool for them, to be truthful. But when you request a medical record, probably the key is to request all the medical records if you can. Because if you just say, I only want the nurse notes, or I only want, you're only going to get what you asked for. So, you know, you can request the whole thing, which sometimes can be, like I said, a huge amount of paper.
Right.
And sometimes it can be a little costly depending on how much they charge per page. Mm-hmm. Or you can just specifically start out by asking, hey, I want the nurse notes first and the MARs and the orders or something like that. And then if you don't have everything you need, then you can say, okay, I'd like therapy notes. And I'd like, you know, you might do it that way. Just get what you need to start out with. And if you're not getting the answers, then ask for more.
That makes sense. And in terms of the layout of the documents, like, so for example, the MARs, those notes or reports, like, are these easy to digest? Like, do you have to have a medical degree to look at them?
I don't think so. I mean, it's pretty much an MAR is going to have on the left side, it's going to have the medication, like, you know, Coumadin. And then you're going to have 30 boxes or 31 boxes after that. And the nurse is going to have her initials there if that medication was administered. If it's not, then, you know, there would be a notation as to why they didn't give it. So, you know, I think if they're looking at an MAR, they'd be able to figure out, like, wait a minute, mom's supposed to be on this medicine. I don't see it anywhere on this list. They'd probably be able to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Right. I know that from my experience, reading over notes, is I generally I cannot remember for the life of me what the website is, but I'll have to Google common acronyms or if that's the right word, you know, D/C for discharge or complaints. What's the word? What are we looking for?
CO for complaints.
Yeah. these type of things that could be confusing if you're not used to seeing them. So I myself, as a tip, would encourage people just to have the internet open as you're reading through, and you can just Google what does XYZ mean in medical terms, and generally that will point you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I agree too. I mean, as nurses, we use acronyms for everything, and there's sometimes even when I look at a chart, I'm like, "What does that mean?" You know, and I've done the same thing myself.
And so tell us a little bit about your consulting, your consulting practice, who you work with mostly. Do you do mostly medical malpractice? Are you over, you know, do you have a particular type of case that you look at?
Well, mainly I've done both the defense part of medical malpractice, like the nursing home. I've reviewed charts for the nursing home attorney that says, hey, look at these charts and tell me what areas you're finding are problematic for us, you know, that type thing. So I've done that, but then I've also done the plaintiff side, which is the family member that says, hey, this, something's gone bad with mom. You know, I know that. And then I've helped to look at those charts to see if the nursing home followed the standard of care. Did they follow the normal protocols for different things, whether it's fall or skin or lab results or change of conditions? So I've really done both sides at this point. I've done a lot of, like I said, the behind the scenes chart reviews for the attorneys to help them understand the chart, kind of what you were talking about. What does all the acronyms mean? What's missing? You know, what do they need to be aware of is a problem in the chart?
Right. Well, that makes sense. And for anybody out there that's listening, that's maybe an attorney that is interested in contacting you, how would they get in touch with you?
Well, my email address is my first name, Tori, T-O-R-Y, at Palavoda, P-A-L, IVODA legalnurse.com. Mm-hmm. So Tori at Palavoda legalnurse.com. That was beating my email. I have a web address, which is www.palavodalegalnurse. So either one of those, there's a link on my website that, you know, somebody can contact me that way or just send me an email.
Fantastic. And we'll have that up on the screen, but I just want to make sure that everybody could hear it. That's just going to listen and not watch. So we have that information for you.
Perfect.
Well, great, Tori. We really appreciate you coming on the show and giving us an overview of nursing home records and what family members of loved ones in nursing homes can expect if they acquire them and are looking over them.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Tori. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you, Tori.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tori. Tori is an interesting name, like Tori Spelling. 90210.
Yeah. I actually know a Tori in real life.
I think there was also a wrestler named Tori, like a WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of wrestling, I don't know why I'm even talking about this, but for some reason, I often use Google News as my news aggregate, and it allows, you know, just different things to come into my news feed. And for some reason, it won't accept that I don't want to learn about WWE and what's going on in WWE, and it refuses to believe me. Like, I get, like, you know, this is what's happening in Congress, and literally the next article is, what did Triple H say
to Vince McMahon
this week on SmackDown? It's like, man, like, I
don't care. It's like,
how many times I got to tell you that I'm not interested in this news? And I think that somebody, who's the Sergio who invented Google? I think he must have invested in WWE.
Right.
Like, I mean, it won't stop. Like, it's insane. So it's gotten to the point now where I'm down to, like, the F list wrestling celebrities. Like, hey, what's Jake the Snake's nephew's neighbor doing at SmackDown?
Yeah.
So,
but speaking of getting down to the bottom of something, we have gotten down to the bottom of this episode.
That's right. how can we, how can somebody out there listen to this?
So there are, and this is something I wanted to bring up. There are two methods, not just two ways that you can consume us. The first method is visually. You can go to YouTube, Shink Smith, YouTube, or you can go to, nursinghomeabuse.com.
No, you can't. You can go to nursinghomeabusepodcast.com.
Nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Or you can listen to us, just the audio, on Spotify, iTunes, Pound Puppy, anything, and anywhere that you typically get your podcast, Stitcher, anywhere.
And I don't know why I'm correcting you on this, because it's fictitious, but it's not Pound Puppy, which was a famous doll in the early 80s that were like dogs that you would get from the pound. It's Pod Puppies, which doesn't exist.
I remember Pound Puppies. Okay. He was, wherever I would go, he would go.
That was my buddy, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Pound Puppies were good because they had a little hard plastic heart on the butt. And so when you hit your brother with it, that part really hurt. Anyway, that's going to conclude now this episode of the Nursing Obese Podcast. With that, we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
See you next time for real.
Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes are available every Monday on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.